Yes, hello. My name is Megha Goswami and I work as marketing coordinator for Hydex and I'm also a light entrepreneur. I'm originally from India, but Finland has been my home for the last 5 years.
Hi, my name is Tolga. I'm from Turkey and I have recently graduated my master's degree in future studies. Currently, I have a company. It's named the Preloved Coffee. It's basically we are upcycling spent coffee grounds, but rather than it's almost like 2.5 years that I have moved here. And now I am currently project researcher at Finland Futures Research Center on smart city digital twins. Yeah, I'm researching of the features of cities and urban development actually.
Hello everyone and welcome to the episode 3 of Alumni Insights. The theme of the day is entrepreneurship and freelancing. Today we have two persons who have already started their own projects and company, and thanks to them you will have a bit of insights into the world of entrepreneurship. So maybe Tolga, can you start to introduce yourself?
Yep, I'm Tolga and I'm founder and CEO of Preloved Coffee, which is upcycling spent coffee grounds, and we recently registered our company and it's based in Turku, and we are hoping to have and penetrate all the market of the coffee industry in the future actually.
Okay, Megha, what is your project?
Hello and nice to meet you. My name is Megha and today I am very happy to be here. Thank you for the invitation. I am here to talk about Couple of Expats, which happens to be my blog and YouTube channel as well, where we share information about building a life in Finland. But I think we're gonna dig deep, both entrepreneurship and otherwise, and happy to be here.
Perfect. So you have two different projects. One is more about culture and integration, and you is so recycling, sustainability, money.
Yeah.
So I will ask you one broader question that was recurrent among the students who prepared the questions for you, and it is, how long did it take you to find your first job in Finland? What about your current job? This question is from Julian. Maybe Megha, you can start. How long did it take you to find your first job and the current one?
It took a few months of effort, but then again, I think I had the mindset of finding a job from the day I landed in Finland. So it is a difficult question to answer from that aspect because I was already laying the groundwork for months before I even sent out my first application. So I think it might be difficult to say exactly how long it took, but I started applying for summer jobs, for example, in January, and I already knew that I would the company that I would be working for by end of March, so that's approximately 3 months. And in the case of my current job, it took less than, I would say, 2 months, but that's also, that really just depends on good timing. So I think this really depends for each candidate and you can't really say what is the perfect number or time.
Yeah, the other guest also answered that it's a matter also of luck, as you said, of timing, because sometimes someone is retiring or changing position, so when you are the best candidate at this moment.
Exactly.
And what about you, Tolga?
Yeah, maybe it's kind of different in the normal the explanation of the like reading or the finding a job here, but it was like second week that I arrived
in Finland.
Yeah.
Okay,
so as a student and as a kind of expat, just, you know, have the education here, you're just trying to secure the mainly the first thing is accommodation. So it's rather than like a Germany or other, you know, European countries, it was more easy because you get a kind of, you have a place to stay from TYS. So you are getting this information and you are relieving. And after that, the second thing is, how will you secure your, you know, expenditures, like that kind of thing. And the first thing is that you're looking for like gig jobs, like, you know, cleaning or restaurants and other things. And it was the thing that I arrived here, it was first thing that I focused, because it's something that the challenge that you should tackle with as soon as possible. And I did it. It was the first week. And the second week they called me, I started work. But the thing is, what I can advise, it's the thing that you just secure, because the money is not that much enough to, you know, cover your expenses and other things. And meanwhile, when you find, when you jump to the job, look for another one. So that first secure your like expenses and like rent and other things, and then, you know, just look other files or other like really organizational level rather than gig jobs. But as I said, it was like second week.
And what kind of jobs did you?
It was like a cleaning jobs.
Oh, okay. I was in a restaurant also.
Yeah, it was something that first it was like a cleaning, and then kind of fundraising, because it's something like stepping up. So first secure your expense, and meanwhile, okay, I'm not here for this, and you are looking for this kind of more organizational level, like UNICEF or this kind of, you know, like Finnish Red Cross. And when you get, you're leaving one and you're carrying on the second one. It's like a stepping up. So about the really job, I can say it was before I graduate, I got my job offer. So it was like April 2023, and I graduated. I'm still working in the same job.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting because I feel a lot of international start with an odd job like this. And in my case, it was not so bad because at the restaurant, I was forced to speak with the customer. So I was forced to learn a bit of Finnish. And yeah, it was of a great help after. I'm happy I worked there. But then I had a more specific questions for both of you, because you both are now working in a field that quite differs from your original studies or your original work experience. And for that reason, Enyu prepared this question for you, Tolga. Do you feel that your long experience in municipality in your home country was helpful for your job research in Finland? Because we checked your LinkedIn profile and we were surprised by that aspect.
Yeah, I have worked in a local authority for more than 7 years in Turkey. So, and my studies was also related about it. It's the, you know, the main idea, they're looking for what kind of AI mayor. I was just, you know, it was my main motivation to apply this future studies.
Already in the future.
So yeah, it was related with my experience, like my professional career, and I see that some kind of challenges because of the ICT integration in the local services and also public services. And I just think about, okay, if we are going to transform this, and we should do it properly, and how can I update my skills and competencies about this? And then the future studies was there.
And yeah, it matched well.
Yeah, it was during the studies I have mainly focused on my topic. I never distracted. For example, they give you assigns and work to like specific project. I was always trying to align it with my thesis topic or my research area. For example, it turned out that the smart city digital twins is something promising and something should be touched upon and should be researched. And the AI mayor and this ICT integration in municipal services just come the theme of the smart city digital twins. So I'm still in my topic in that direction, but I'm still using some kind of challenges that my former experience get just inside of me actually about this.
Yeah, it's interesting because you used your questioning from Turkey into your current studies. So it's nice for the thesis also to keep on studying what you are already familiar with.
Yeah.
And apparently it was a bit the same for you. The first internship that you have done, I think, was in a laboratory.
Yep.
So some students were curious about your shift from laboratory work to marketing, and they asked you, did you have previous experience in marketing before working at Hydex? Maybe you can also explain a bit what's the goal of Hydex, and how did it occur to you that you could work in marketing instead of your field of study? This is a question from Dmitry.
Yes, so currently at Hydex, it is true that I'm a marketing coordinator, but Hydex is also a life science manufacturer. So while it might seem that I am no longer doing anything related to my studies, I kind of disagree. I think what I have studied is very, very useful for my job currently, and it is one of the most important things that got me selected in for the job in the first place. The fact that I had a background of life sciences. So in my previous role, I started out as an R&D assistant. That was the summer job. And with time, I started to develop an interest in marketing. And I was also not shy to voice the fact that I was more interested in marketing and I wanted to have more marketing related tasks. So I was lucky to have supervisors who really cared about what I wanted and gave me the chance to also develop myself in the role. So I started to take more and more marketing tasks and they were happy with my work. So already during my previous job, had I started my journey into marketing. And then I was at a crucial point in the road where I had to either choose science or marketing. I didn't feel like I felt like for my next role, I need to decide what I really love. And I've always been I've been passionate about science, but I've also been very curious about marketing. And I thought, okay, marketing is my true calling, but I don't want to do it just for like any company. It should not be like I am leaving behind a part of who I am and what I've studied. So it was very important to me that I stayed within the same industry and I'm able to apply everything that I've learned and continue to learn, but with a new role, and that's in marketing.
Mm. Actually, one student was curious, so Andre asked you, do you think that your medical background might become irrelevant after a long career in marketing? Are there ways to preserve your medical knowledge?
Well, just to correct the question a little bit, I don't have a medical background. My background is in biotechnology. But I think that my daily tasks really requires me to stay on top of what's happening in the industry. So, for example, our devices are being used by research groups and companies around the world. And as marketing coordinator, it is also my task to see how are the research that is being produced using our devices, how is that relevant, or how is that, what kind of research is coming out? Are there drugs being developed? We even have devices that are on submarines and being researched in Antarctica, Alaska. So even okay. The furthest parts. And as marketing coordinator, I need to know what is happening and stay on top of the research. And I, for example, I was in Vienna earlier this year, earlier in the autumn, and a lot of our customer bases are scientists. So I need to talk to scientists and I need to understand their needs to be able to know how our product is for the market. Mm. So I think that I will need to put in some extra effort to make sure that I don't forget my scientific knowledge. Mm. But I think the industry also challenges me in a positive way to not forget that information.
Yeah, it's nice that you can still use it also in your research is in general. And I guess you have now this double vision of, okay, the scientific side and, okay, how do we market it and push it forward for a public that has not a scientific background?
Yeah, but you have to know your customer in any business, whether that's coffee or whether that's life science. You have to know the end user and you have to really know who it is that you are designing anything for.
Yeah, so. Actually, talking about coffee, I would like to ask you a few more questions about your own projects and companies.
Yes, please.
And we can start with Preloved Coffee, because one of the questions was, and I think it's a bit the initiation of your story, which competition would you advise entrepreneurs to participate in? Said David.
Climate Launchpad would be the good start, but if they want to learn what are the foundations of about the pitching, because lots of things is framed. They have some principles, they have some perspectives and approaches, different like steps that, for example, they can follow to at least interact with the audience during the pitching, like attitudes, like eye contact, or how to engage with the audience. I mean, who is your audience? Who are you pitching to? Mm. And it could be a good start in the boost, because they are giving really good like a mentorship, and they have, if I'm not wrong, and this year also like Boost Marathon and Boost Startup Marathon.
What is Boost?
Yes, Boost is kind of a startup hub actually, and it is quite interesting that I don't quite understand why students are not kind of aware of this. They have this treasure there, and it's not that far from the campus of University of Turku. So one thing, you can also get credits from these participations, like the credits, you can learn new things, and maybe you can found your company with, or you can find your co-founder. So this is one fact, keep that in your mind. And the other thing is, yes, the Boost Startup Marathon is like a 2 days kind of marathon that they are just, giving you lots of insights, and they are somehow really condensed, they just put you in this module, and then after that you're saying, I have learned something.
Yeah, it's really stimulating.
Definitely. And it also motivates and inspires you to maybe found a company or meet with potentially team members there. And then it can follow up with the Boost Startup journey. It's 8 to 9 weeks long during the summertime. And again, you can get credits from this, even if you don't have this kind of ideation. But after that, it's something that it's following each other, because it was the case for us. After the startup journey, we got a demo day and we pitched and we get some plays there, and after that we applied for Climate Launchpad. So the Climate Launchpad is really globally known and reputable startup competition about circular economy, for example, in our case. And it gives you the different approaches from different regions, different countries within the Europe. And after that, every region has like a classification, and then you are going to global one.
Okay.
So at the end, you can make a reputation, and even you get a first investment in your company. It could be these three steps beneficial for them.
Yeah, actually, we met during the marathon which pre-loved coffee was created.
Yeah, definitely.
I saw the birth of the project, and it's crazy to me to think that years after, it's still going on.
Yeah.
Because when I participated to it, I wanted to learn more cooperation skills or IT skills, this kind of thing, and how to think in a group, because I never had this kind of experiences. It was great to see the project I participated in after, I didn't keep in touch with the people, but to see that some teams stick together and they continue after years to apply to more competitions and develop into a company, it was really inspiring for me to see.
Inspiring,
wow,
and challenging. I
saw him after, he was not
look
sleeping.
Look at my eyes.
That's
if you're ready for sleepless nights,
good.
Be an entrepreneur.
But actually, it's connected. Did you receive financial support from the Finnish government? This is a question from Alexei.
Yeah, so about financials, there are different stages for this, and there are lots of opportunities for this. If, for example, for Business Turku has its network, and they have also the financial instruments, and the Turku business region has also its own financial instruments. But in high level, there are a big Finnish startup ecosystem here. In that sense, somebody don't need this, you know, governmental support, because they are already doing it with Business Finland, with region support, and some like regional level or city level calls. I think most of them don't know that the city of Turku has 600,000 euros fund for urban developing with different pillars, and they are dividing it four. One of them is circular economy or different, you know, the areas of it. And it is not that much known, but they, even for the city case, it's 600,000 euros.
Geography people, that's yeah, your moment.
It is the like mind-blowing moment. Hey, it's good money, it's good money. You can, you know, use it. So to sum up, in some, you know, context, the government is already doing it with regional or city or in higher level like Business Finland. But in some cases, the ecosystem is really strong here. There are angel investors. This Fiban, for example, is one of them. Maria One is one of them. Boost is also kind of opened this gate for this kind of things. And every city almost. Turku has Boost Turku. Tampere has Tampere, you know, Entrepreneurship Society.
Okay.
And the other one. So it's full of opportunities in this ecosystem. And it's kind of, yeah. It is financially, it's lots of abundance.
Various
there.
Backup.
Yes.
I feel in general, don't feel shy to ask around. And in Turku, you can take a free appointment with Business Turku, and they explain to you how entrepreneurship work and what kind of fundings you can have. So really, don't hesitate to ask them. They're super nice. You send an email, and then they plan you a meeting. So for free, I think it's great that you can have also from International House Turku, you can have business recommendations or tips. But concerning your own project, Mega, and you wanted to know, when did you establish your entrepreneur status and how? When did this blog about food and sharing passion for Finland turn into a proper enterprise? And
It was around 2 years ago, and the way it turned was maybe more casual than expected. It was the fact that I needed a system to make invoices. So that led to us knowing that, okay, so this is something that we can turn into some sort of a side hustle. So I think me and Kristaps, we were pretty on the same page about the fact that we have not been very happy about the idea of being on a single source of income. So we've since early on, we wanted to establish having multiple sources of income, and we thought that, of course, with long-term investment, because as opposed to selling a product, selling services takes a lot more of time to maybe establish, and it's not one of those things that you can maybe immediately cash out on. I wouldn't suggest blogging if someone is eager to make money fast.
Okay, it's need more to be passionate.
passionate and maybe slow process. But when we realized that there is potential out there, and that we are getting opportunities for being speakers and hosts for different events, and we need to be able to invoice the organizations. It was as simple as that, and I think that one of the things that we look forward to doing someday is registering ourselves as official. What would you call it? Was like registering your company?
Getting
your business ID. Yeah. So that is that's in our roadmap.
I had a more general question because the auditors might have never heard from Krista. So your project, can you define a bit the project Couple of Expat?
Of course. Yes, so
what's your role in it, and who is Kristaps?
Who is Kristaps? Mm-hmm. Kristaps happens to be the person who is running everything Behind the scenes of Couple of Expats, which is our channel. We are the couple behind Couple of Expats. My partner is from Latvia and I am from India, which is why the name Couple of Expats. And as opposed to many couples who have a Finnish counterpart, both of us are foreigners, obviously, internationals who actually met at UTU, fun fact, while we were both students here.
At the glow party? Or
not at the glow party, but let's not dive into too much detail at which party. But Couple of Expats, the way we try to describe it to a five-year-old, or, well, maybe not a five-year-old, but a 10-year-old, is the channel that we wish we had when we were younger. So in Finland, things are moving really, really fast. So even like 2 or 3 years, if you arrived in 2015, 2017, 2019, you had very different experiences because things are constantly evolving, constantly growing. But in 2018, when we arrived, we were, let's say, rather unprepared for life in Finland. And there were so many things that we did like wrong. And we are just trying to create content on what we think would be useful for someone moving to Finland. So whether that be how do you survive winter, or where do you look for house for apartments in Finland, or why would you want to move to Finland in the first place for your studies? So we're trying to cover a broad spectrum of. Or why do you not want to come to Finland? We're trying to tell you how it is, as it is, through our social media channels and our YouTube. So that is kind of what we do in a nutshell.
Okay. The students were also surprised by both of your CVs because from what we understood, you are both working in English. In a pretty international environment. And so there was one question for Mega concerning the Finnish market. Do you feel that the Finnish market is receptive to marketing in English language, asked David?
Right. So this kind of goes back to what I said earlier. Your marketing is for your audience. So this really depends on who is your audience. In this case, for Hydex, not Couple of Expats, which is my evening job, but Hydex, which is my main job. So what's important here is that only 2% of our customer base is actually in Finland.
Okay.
And then 36% of our market is from Europe. And the largest chunk of our market is actually North America. So our marketing does not need to focus on Finland at all. Our marketing is prepared for a very, very, very international audience. So in that case, I am able to do all of my work in English and there is no need for Finnish language. But that also happens to be because I landed in a company that does not focus on the Finnish market, which might be very special in Finland.
Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't know they sold so much abroad. And maybe that's one tip. If you don't speak Finnish, maybe target companies that are collaborating internationally. That can be a way, even if you should learn Finnish, like me.
Definitely.
In the case of Tolga, it was a bit of a, not a conclusion question, but a lot of international students are really encouraged to go to Finland. They receive a scholarship. We feel quite supported by the teachers and the university in general. And then we start to look for a job and it's the big shock. In fact, even if Finnish people speak English, at work they speak Finnish. So you feel limited in your job applications or it's difficult, no one answers, etc. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that there is a gap between how international students are encouraged to study in Finland and how the job market welcomes them once they graduate? This is from Julian.
Yeah, I think we should put more emphasis on regional kind of retention. It really changes when you go to Helsinki and when you look the Espoo or Tampere and when it comes to Turku. So in that sense, I think this system that the city has is kind of affecting this. For example, I just put a broader perspective here. So as if, you know, Finland is invest me, they give me like a scholarship, okay? So it's kind of to, you know, when you finish, I didn't experience it because as I said, I even got my job before I graduated. And then when you graduate and obviously you are looking for the job, there are jobs in some places, but you have been lived here like 2 years already in Turku and you are feeling a kind of path, you know, of the city and you want to stay here.
It's difficult to go to Helsinki.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's, you are really, your friends is here, your, you know, the place that you feel that, you know, this is my place, this is my spot, is here, and it's kind of moving to another city and looking this kind of opportunity is kind of more challenging. And in that sense...
We will stop you.
Yeah.
In that sense... Yahoo!
Yeah.
Okay, in that sense...
Right. Yeah. In that sense, you don't want to go. But on the other hand, the market is small in Turku. And... you're trying to find a match. You want to stay here, but your skills is, you know, is kind of demanding more higher position, and you are feeling a dilemma. Okay, should I stay or should I go?
Very poetic.
Yeah. So this is the case. I think there should be more encouragement and more initiatives in that sense, like not changing the everything, but start from small and maybe kind of spillover in different industries, because in some industries, for example, in IT, even it is the IT, you are dealing with the codes. So the codes is like generally, like if I'm not wrong, kind of
in
general
English.
Yeah, for example, like a Python or other things, it's kind of English because of the language model, yeah, or something. But when you apply for this job, it's of course you have been part of this communication in the organization or in the company. So you're dealing and you're asking yourself, okay, I'm dealing with the code. I don't even need to communicate with anyone if I have any spread or that kind of thing. But still, you need to have a communication.
Yeah.
In that sense, this could be more like a, not radically changed suddenly, but a smooth transition would be maybe good for the retention, you know, of the students in Turku after they graduate. In that sense, yeah, I can add, but I don't know. What are your thoughts about this?
Well, I was just thinking that we've already done our fair share of moving. We don't want to move anymore.
Yeah.
Well, if you, of course, if you want to, that's totally fine. But I think a lot of people have spent those 2 years building connections and networks and everything, like you said.
Yeah.
And it's one thing to want to move, but it's another thing to be forced to move.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see how our Turku's retention numbers changing. Of are you like how has in the last 10 years, how many students have we been able to retain? Like, let's say in 2013 versus 2023,
mm-hmm.
are we actually able to keep the talent here?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
I know a lot of people who had who ended up in Helsinki region. And guess why? I can give you a hint. It's because they found a job there
yeah.
and they didn't find one here.
Yeah.
yeah.
So, of course, COVID opened doors with remote working policies becoming more and more common and employers also being open to the idea. That hasn't really, really helped things. Of course, there's no doubt that Turku is a beautiful city which has everything. And you really have to, it's hard to let go of.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, yeah. For me, it's the same. I see jobs in Helsinki, but I'm, oh no, Turku. All my friends also.
Oh,
it's
the
difficult.
Metro,
no.
Oh no, 45 minutes.
And I personally had a last question for you too about entrepreneurship and starting your company, because you are both doing it on the side of your main job. What would be your advice for someone who really wants to start a company? Do you think it's achievable to focus only on this, or is it better to secure a job and then on the side to start your own business and see how it develops?
Maybe I can start because it was kind of the topics that we have discussed in different occasions. So there are some path as a really entrepreneurial mind that they say all in. And it is not that much easy as an expat because I have one ballot, okay? I can't just say all in, all my money in, because I have to secure somehow my expenses that can keep me alive here, because I don't have any like alternative income. So in that sense, if they are expat like us, so first, it doesn't matter like a fully work somewhere, but it could be like a part-time work or something. If you really want to do something about your idea or building your company, the first thing is secure your expenses with kind of a part-time job, or it doesn't matter, like it could be a gig or, you know, in the organizational level, like part-time. And the second one is the team. They should really, they shouldn't be, you know, hesitating about the shares, about the, you know, the money in the beginning. If they have team, it will be more easier. I have four team members. You are the best. Really, if the pre-loved coffee is pre-loved coffee now, it is not just me. It is all the ideation and all the discussions and the challenges and about this ideation and turning around the all team members. Because you are giving just put some idea and team members and, you know, discussing and adding, hey, you said something. What was it? Said this. Okay, do we have any scientific background of it? And we have Dana, for example, you know, background in scientific, and I still don't know what kind of, you know, bioinformatics it is, but he is always bringing up, okay, yes, it could be achievable because it's scientifically a proof of concept there, okay? And when you put it there, and the marketing, for example, alone, she had almost more than 15 years background in really multinational companies. Hey, you know, it could be like a branding because she was the founder of our name, Pre-Loved Coffee. And we have Vincent about sustainability. Everyone is putting aspect. And also the role of division, you know, if you manage within your team, if you trust within your team, it's more easy to get these things smoothly.
Mm.
And the third one, learn Finnish.
I think every episode is going to be learn Finnish.
Because, for example, when you register, or if you have anything related about business, you know, like
legal
correspondence and that kind of thing, you're getting a post and you're using your Google Translate and then hesitating. Is it right translate? Because it's official. Then you are directly going to the, you know, this related public place and ask, is it like this?
Did I understand?
But the funny fact that even if I believe that soon this language things and everything will be changed, because as you said, the world and Finland is evolving, and it will take some part. But I do understand the hesitation that being, you know, keeping the language. So there should be some balance. If the retention would be increased or developed, or if they want to create new innovative businesses in Finland, nobody have to give some leverage from their, you know, aspect. So that could be like a common ground, which is really could be transit this system more smooth, more like inclusive for everyone. And it's also, when you look at the broader, you know, spectrum, it's good for Finland. So win-win.
To translate more official documents,
it could be translation, or could be, I don't know, in some cases it's really a core document, for example, from the start, the core documents like a registration paper. I'm seeing my registration paper and just try to translate.
How did I register?
Start from small, the first thing that they are teaching you during the pitch mentorship. started small. So it could be the core papers, you know, for these kind of businesses, for example, for her, you know, in business related. And then it will smoothly evolve in other areas, I think.
Yeah, actually, in your case, since you are learning Finnish and your partner was studying Finnish, did it make it smoother to create your company?
I think it really depends on the individual, him or herself. Of course, securing the basics is something I think we all have bills to pay at the end of the day. So no doubt there. But I think each person needs to evaluate for themselves if entrepreneurship is the road to go down. I think Finland also kind of persuades internationals to go down this road if they are not able to find a job. Now, that is something that I'm a little hesitant towards, and I feel like an individual should only do this if they are really, really invested and committed, like Tolga mentioned, because it is really not for everyone. So we cannot start just assuming that everyone is built for entrepreneurship. So start learning, start figuring out if that is something that you are suited for, and then start getting used to the fact that there will be many, many sleepless nights and there will be many, many weekends that are devoted to doing what you love. So if you love what you do, like we do, then we know that that's what we're going to be doing the whole weekend. And then on Monday morning, we're back to our jobs. The reason because we were both very, we knew what we wanted, and we knew we wanted to also build our careers in Finland. And at the same time, we were dedicated in building and establishing our own brand, Couple of Expats. So we know that we're going to be working around the clock, and that was something that we were okay with. So it is, it works for us, but not every individual is the same. And if that is not something that you're up for, then that's totally fine.
They can burn out.
Be ready for a lot of coffee, I see.
Yes, okay. Drink coffee, please.
Contribute to the common effort. So that was it for me. Did you have some final remarks, or do we just say goodbye?
Make sure you check out our channel, Couple of Expats, on YouTube.
And make sure to... Best advertisement.
I wish you all the best. At the beginning, it will be challenging, but believe me that after some time, it's getting its way. Don't be too hassle about it. Just when you come to Finland, you will understand, you know, let it go. So it will somehow find its path, and then it will make you more happy. This is what I can say. Actually.
And find a team or both of you. I feel that it was one of the big help concerning your projects, that you had good team members.
Yeah.
There's team members, and then there's having a rock. I have a rock. Someone who supports me 24/7 and someone who I wouldn't be here without. So there's a difference. And I see also Tolga being so thankful for his teammates, three teammates. So yeah, behind every successful man or woman, there is another person who is silently working around the clock as well. So thank you to those.
Or coffee.
Yes. Okay, well, thank you for coming today. And
thank you for hosting us.
Yes. Well, and if you have any more questions, please connect with us on LinkedIn.
Oh.